Meeting of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, to order at 6:04. Can we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one
nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you could remain standing for a minute, please, for a moment of silence for former Derby Police Chief Don Germain and longtime dedicated City Hall employee, Miss Patty Finn. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Roll call, please.
Barbara DiGennaro.
Here.
Sarah Vidomsky.
Here.
Joseph DiMartino.
Here.
Camille Curtica.
Here.
Ron Sill.
Here.
Jim DiMartino.
Here.
Rob Hyder.
Here.
Charles Sampson. Mr. President, you have 7 members present for a quorum.
Thank you, sir. Number 5, public portion. Anybody from the public like to speak? Anybody from the public like to speak? 3rd and final time, anybody from the public like to speak? Hearing none, public portion is now closed. Number 6, department head reports. Will be on the agenda for the January 12th regular meeting. Number 7, administrative appointments. 7.1, elect president of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen for the 2020-2021 year. 7.1.1, move to elect a president of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. Do I have any nominations?
I'd like to nominate Mr. Joseph DiMartino.
I will second the nomination.
Nominated by Ron, second by Camille.
Yes.
Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Last time, any other nominations? Hearing none, motion to approve Joe DiMartino as president of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. Aye.
Aye. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Thank you. First year was interesting for me, learning how to do it and everything. I plan on giving you a better second year, so thank you so much.
Congratulations, Joe.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Number 8, committee reports. No action for the blight, no action for the community relations, and no action for operations and procedures. Number 9.1, Johnson & Controls Energy Performance Contract Payment of Invoice. Move to approve payment application number 8 in the amount of $575,152.59 dated June 18, 2020. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Rob. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Camille. Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 9.2, Finance Director. Move to adopt resolution entitled 2021 Interim/Permanent Finance Director Action Plan. Do I have a motion?
Can we talk about the, can I ask a couple questions before the motion? Is Andrew there still?
Andrew, you on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, a couple things. When is Mr. McLiberty's last day? Do we know?
We don't have an official last day. I think the way that this contemplates it is that his last day will be 2 weeks from the appointment of an interim.
So I think we need to have a date of when that date is, you know, when his last day is. And in reading some emails today, when did Meg resign? I was interested. It was very interesting to me today to read that. So we're put down another employee.
No, her resignation is effective February 19th. So we have 6 weeks of her presence, and that job is being posted internally. It is a union position and being posted internally tomorrow. We don't know. We may or may not have internal interest. If so, it'll be easy to plug somebody into train up there with Ms. Martin as she remains here until the 19th. If not, we will immediately post externally to try to get somebody in there to have at least a month training with Ms. Martins as well.
All right. And reading this resolution, I mean, I have issues with a lot of it, but how is this temporary interim finance director going to be hired? If you look at paragraph one, it talks about they're going to be contract. How is that hiring? Where are you looking to hire that person from?
So that person, we would use the same third-party vendor that we brought to you folks last year when Mr. Coppola vacated the position with the Robert Half Enterprises or Industries, whatever the name of the full company is, where they are a professional finance professional placement firm. So we have not engaged them to seek names for that yet, but that is the route we would go. It's something that they do pretty regularly. So especially on an interim basis.
So the date that's proposed in here, and again, I don't know who wrote this, but who drafted this, but the date that's proposed is January 20th. So it's like not even 2 weeks. It's about 2 weeks.
Right.
So you think that the outside vendor is going to find somebody by January 20th?
Yes, they essentially, for lack of a better term, have a stable of people going constantly that it kind of rotates people in and out from other positions throughout the state. So that's really what they have to do. A lot of times they have to do it on the fly within a period of days. So we may have someone as soon as Monday. That's if we get an opportunity to meet and interview and discuss with people and vet their skill set to see, their qualifications. If we put all our heads together to make that a full-time effort over the next few days, it could be sooner than the 20th even. But the reason I believe that the 20th was contemplated is because the next Board of Taxation meeting is the 19th. So the thought was to kind of have that all tightened up and go that route.
Well, I mean, there's funds in there for the current position. So, I don't want to, I mean, there's other things I want to say now, but I'm not sure if anybody else has anything to say, but my overall thought is that if you get an interim person from the vendor and at least get that person in there to start, get Mr. McLiberty's, we know when his last day is and he's done, he can be there for whatever the couple weeks it needs to be for this interim person, then he's done. He's already taken another job. You know, I mean, the transition, we didn't have much transition when Sal resigned. So my thought is you get that interim person in there, then you can work on a hiring process to get the full-time permanent person in there without going through this. To me, the resolution, a lot of it is just overzealous. And I think just too much that we probably too much that is there that is needed. That's how I feel anyway. At least we know we need somebody in there. At least get that interim person in there to get moving, get working, and, you know, at least do whatever, the payroll, get bills paid, and get some of the budget going. That's my feeling. So I don't know if anybody else at this point has something to say.
I think the resolution is quite complete. It's very aggressive. You're looking to hire a full-time person in 22 days. And to set up a committee and do that, it's going to be very interesting to say the least. And in paragraph four, when it says departure of existing interim finance director, that includes as many details are practical. Are you talking about details like keys, combinations, all that stuff at the end of the date?
So to be fair, I did not write this resolution, and I had a hand in kind of the editing and the finalizing of it. And to your point, Alderman DeGennaro, I think the point is exactly what you said. The point is to get the interim in there, and then the process to get the permanent person in there may take till after the budget cycle. I think the interim will shepherd us through the budget, and we'll do the day-to-day things that you discussed, you know, dealing with vendors, paying the bills, getting payroll, overseeing the day-to-day operations of the finance department. Where Mr. McLiberty comes in, as you all know, he has taken another job. He's not available to us during business hours. He's available to us on his lunch, first thing in the morning, in the evening. And I think in God rest her soul, Patty Finn's passing has made Keith's input on some of those items, maybe that were more in the capital plan and in Patty's lane, probably more critical than his role in necessarily the finance department. But to your point, Alderman Sill, it is critical to get the combinations, the bank accounts, have sign off or additional signatories on different accounts. And Keith really is the only one who has the full breadth of knowledge of that stuff. But that handoff, when the interim gets in, if it's a person who's a financial professional who has a history of working in another municipality, may take less than 2 weeks. I think we just put a 2-week sunset on it to say no more than 2 weeks of that process. That being said, I believe Keith will be available to us for whatever we may need in the evening, and maybe even to still help with some of the things, making sense of some of Patty's workload, which is really probably the more difficult thing than the handoff of the finance director position at this point.
Excuse me 1 second. Mark, can you let Charlie in, please? Charlie's trying to get in.
Okay, sorry, I didn't see that.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, sorry about that, guys.
Drew, what are the chances that the full-time position gets posted as soon as tomorrow as well, and we hire a full-time finance director quicker than we can get an interim in?
Having spoken to some other financial professionals, including but not limited to other finance directors throughout the state, that is not the preferred method to go, to just bring a full-time person in. The thought is to have an interim who can just kind of focus on the financial operations and cleaning things up and, for lack of a better term, getting things on rails for the full-time person to come in after this budget cycle. That seems to be the preferred method. Plus, it kind of gives the opportunity for us to really vet someone's long-term future here, because the interim person is not going to be the permanent person. That's the thing. If they just come in, do the cleanup, do the day-to-day journal entries and some of the more critical day-to-day stuff in the finance department, and then our person who's going to shepherd the fiscal future of the city permanently, as you see in item number 3 here, is somebody that will come from a hiring committee of aldermen, tax board members, other area finance directors. The administration doesn't see that pool of applicants until the committee narrows that down to 3, at which point, you know, it makes the process, I think, as fair and as apolitical as possible, where we really get a chance to vet out some qualified candidates. And part of that is dangling out a salary range and see what the comfort level is of the committee based on the applications that you receive. Because at 95, you may get 5 people. At 95 to 120, you may get 25 people to choose from. And then depending upon those folks' qualifications, the thought is that that hiring committee can then make a recommendation attached to the final 3 candidates for the final salary.
So that's where one of my issues is that basically 3, 4, and 5 of this resolution is something that doesn't have to be done tonight, because I think it should be done subsequently, because there's some, I think, procedural issues with the way that is proposed in contrast to the charter. So again, I think my feeling is the primary issue is getting this interim person in at a rate of pay with a date that is with Mr. McLiberty's, you know, his employment being extinguished, basically. That's not the word I want to use, but it's a word that's coming to mind. So that we're operating at a way we should be operating, or at least try to get back to where we were operating with that. That's my feeling.
I think that's the immediate goal. I don't have any, I don't really have an opinion on the inclusion or disclusion of 3, 4, and 5. I think the point that was made by the effort to do it this way is just have that all laid out, to not have a conversation dragged out for 3 and 4 months about the process. But if you have what do you think is in contrast to the charter, out of curiosity?
Well, you want to appoint a hiring committee who's going to, you know, again, I mean, I don't know. It's going to include a recommendation of a salary, but that's not what the salary is supposed to come from the Board of Aldermen. It doesn't come from a hiring committee by the charter, by Section 30 of the charter. So, you know, I don't think I'm opposed to a hiring committee. I'm opposed to what, you know, they're going to make a recommend, how they're going to, what they're going to recommend. And then we got number four, we got three Board of Aldermen now determining a transition plan. And, you know, I don't even understand what that paragraph means. You know, five, I don't have an issue with doing a range of a salary, but what I did have an issue with was, I don't know how they get an increase based to the Derby Teachers Union. I mean, there should be a salary should be set with a range, inclusive of benefits or not, when that job is going to be posted. And again, I don't think it can't be done, you know, sooner rather than later. But I just think that I think we've overcomplicated a situation that shouldn't be overcomplicated. That's how I see it. So whether or not the hiring committee is who it is and what they're going to do, you know, if we're getting through the budget season anyway, we're going to be a few months in. I mean, and you just said that it's not the way to go to when Rob asked a question about putting it out for the finance director. You know, it probably is the way to go, but at this point, we need to get somebody interim in there. And
I think I just think filling it is not going to be quicker than, again, putting an interim in, which it could happen very quickly. That was my point. But in terms of Mr. Garfalo or Mayor Garfalo, do you have anything to add about some of the logic? I could tell you the logic for the Derby Teachers Union, that the finance director typically or does not sit on the negotiating committee for the teachers union salaries. So there's no conflict if that person gets a raise commensurate with that. Similar with my role being tied to the police union contract, which I do not sit on the negotiating committee. I think it eliminates the conflict. But again, to your point, is it more detailed than it needs to be at this point? You know, it could be. But Mark, do you have anything to add?
I mean, all I could tell you is that we are in crisis here at City Hall. So we don't have a finance director who's here day to day. We don't, and now Patty's gone, and now we're going to lose another person in the finance department, and we don't have a full-time, you know, permanent tax collector. And so it impacts everybody else's job. So the reality is something needs to happen, and whatever the progress is, because it's going to take at least a couple of months. I mean, I think if you advertise for a permanent position, you got to put it out at least for a month, not for 2 weeks. This is an important job. So you want to get it out for as long a period of time as you can and not rush the process. And there is no rush because you need the interim to get through the budget process. Because no matter what, by the time you hire somebody and they give their notice, under the best case scenario, it'll be smack dab in the middle of the budget process. So it really needs to happen. And the other issue, I think item number four, the most pertinent part of item number four is that is the section that kind of directs that there will be a finish date, which is what I think Alderwoman DeGennaro was asking for. What you want the hiring committee to be, I mean, that's up to you what you want. And the salary should be set so when you put it out, you know what everybody knows what the range is going out. And then if you want to have the committee recommend based in that range, then they could recommend back. And that's up to you. But
number we on, please? Sorry about me being late.
Nine dash two.
Okay.
I could just a quick question too. Now, Patty's job reported to the mayor, right? I think that's the way it always had been.
But it was still union, though.
Oh, I know, but Barb, you would know too that Patty was under the responsibility of the mayor.
Right.
Patty was
dumped on her, the garage and everything.
We're gonna find out things.
She didn't report to the finance director. Her position was assistant, isn't it? Development director. I don't think of development assistant, whatever the associate director, whatever that title was from.
Right. So it should have nothing to do with the end date for Keith.
For the finance director, not for the finance director position. No.
All right, so Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson, I think we're all on the same page, but I think we have three things to discuss tonight. Number one, the interim finance person coming in and setting a rate for them. So I think we need to put together a motion just to get somebody in here, because this may or may not take the amount of time that City Hall believes it will take to move forward. Number two, I think we need to have the appointed board set up if we can tonight. And number three, I think we need to push forward with the salary range that will have to be set up before we even advertise this job. So I think we have three things that we have to put forward tonight. And I agree with Alderwoman DeGennaro I get it. The resolution tries to cover it all, but I think that, we should have three motions out of this resolution done tonight so that we can move forward, because we're killing ourselves here.
That's right. You're right, Charlie.
Thank you.
Charlie, what did you say was number two?
Number two, the second motion should be like section three of this and section four kind of combined, that we need to figure out who's going to be on this hiring board, and we need to set a board effective tonight, who's going to be on it and how they're going to move forward.
No, but absolutely.
The third motion is the salary range, because obviously you can't advertise for this job without putting a realistic salary range out there for this job, and putting a board together and saying, hey, listen, we'll discuss salary later. It's not going to happen because currently the salaries are $50,000 a year. Nobody's going to apply for this job, which has already been proven because we put it out there at the $50K a year. So.
We put it out at 70. We can get anybody.
Exactly. I mean, we got to get somebody qualified in here. I could put in somebody here that used to run a cash register down the street. Okay. We don't need that anymore. Derby doesn't need to be doing this. So I hope you all definitely put a good salary on here so we can get a qualified person.
I think we're right in line here with what we got. So let's go down the steps. Number one being the most important.
So Mr. Mayor, if I could, we're just gonna make a motion. As far as going with an interim person, that we move to approve a full-time on-premises interim finance director to begin work no later than Wednesday, January 20th, 2021, at the rate not to exceed $90 per hour as contracted non-employee position for the period to be completed on or before a permanent position is hired.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
The only thing I would say, Charlie, on the motion, we have that that it's a temporary position. We say interim, but I was confused as to the contracted non-employee language. So if they're going to be, is the vendor, Andrew, going to give, do they provide a contract?
Yes, we contract with Robert Half, and I believe the payment method is a 1099. I think the point of that language was just to say it's not somebody we own in terms of benefits and all those other things. It's just somebody who's a contracted employee.
If I can, Attorney Marini, is that language okay? Should we word it a little different? Is in the motion?
No, I think that's acceptable. I don't have too much concern about that.
Okay.
All right, we have a first and a second. Any more discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so carried. Charlie, go with the next.
Next one's a little bit more befuddled. So I'm going to make a motion that the Board of Aldermen, all the women shall appoint a hiring committee to seek a permanent finance director consisting of the following members: at least one member of each political party from both the Board of Aldermen, all the women, not less than two, and the Board of Board of Apportionment and Taxation, not less than two, and at least three other at-large members who have government finance experience at the senior level or have served as finance director of another municipality in Connecticut, and that such committee shall be appointed by our next regular meeting.
That's next Thursday.
Yes.
Yep. So come up with some names by next Thursday is what I'm saying. Let's get this done.
Got to move along. Yeah.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion on this?
All right. What does it mean by experience at the senior level? What does that mean?
Well, we're thinking,
are we talking about? Go ahead, Mayor.
We're thinking someone to see a CPA that has municipal experience on this. So we just initially it was like city residents. We need somebody with financial background to do this. So that's, I think that'll put us a step up and get us where we have to go.
So are we including in the three members? Then are the three members somebody who has served, is that inclusive of the three members, or is the someone who has served as an additional member of the, as a finance director?
Mr. Mayor,
just three.
Go ahead, Charlie.
I'm kind of curious, Barb. What I think we're looking at is when it goes back to senior level or served, that only relates to the three members. Like if we go to Shelton and ask their CFO, please come over and evaluate this candidate, that only associates to them. But yet, I believe that the aldermen, all the women appointed to the board are just people that currently sit on the board.
Right.
Is that what I'm asking? Is that what? Okay.
I think that's what you said.
That's what I believe I said. That was my intent.
So, Barb, what we want to do is like when we did for Mark's assistant clerk's positions, that we wanted clerks to do the interviews to make it transparent that nobody. So we already talked to one out in Woodbridge that's willing to work with us. We definitely through CCM, we could pick up two more. And with your board, set up the or set up whoever wants to join on this that you set up there. And then we have the interviews and then they present three candidates.
Yeah, well, we didn't get there yet. But we're talking just about seven members.
Well, that's what we're looking at. I mean, that's how we have to do it. Otherwise, it's going to be, you know.
Well, we're trying to just set the committee. I get it, but we're trying to set the committee. So seven members, right, Charlie? So two, two, and three. Seven members on this hiring committee?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, any other discussion? Rob?
No.
Nope.
All right, we have a motion to second it. No more discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Staying, so carried. And Charlie, third one.
So the third motion out of this is we need to set a realistic salary range, something that the city of Derby has never done in the past, and something I complain about all the time. So I'd like to make a motion that the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, adopt a salary of a permanent finance director at the range between $95,000 and $120,000 annually, with pay increases, actually.
Yeah.
I understand what Drew's saying, but at this point, let's just set the salary range. I'm just going to end it at $95,000 to $120,000 annually.
I'll second that. However, I would have a caveat. Are we going to say inclusive of benefits or not inclusive of benefits? Or are we going to wait on the benefits?
I think we should do with experience, and benefits are added on to it, but that's just my thought.
Well,
benefit package is a big thing.
Right.
Yeah. Any candidates without the benefits.
I understand that. And if you do look at some of the CFOs, and I was talking to the CFO where I work today, he makes twice this. So, and he runs a town that's maybe twice the size of Derby, but I honestly believe this should be the salary range. Benefits are inclusive on top of this. Because
inclusive.
No, I did not say that.
In addition to.
What did the Board of Ed? What did the Board of Ed give their finance guy over there?
121 plus benefits. 121 plus benefits.
Plus benefits.
We got to look at the benefits.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and the benefits will be determined upon which contract we apply it to.
Absolutely. So. But we got to get a range to get some qualified candidates in here, I think.
Right.
Okay, so.
Am I good with that, Barb? Is just, we set the salary of a permanent finance director at a range between 95 and 120 annually, and I'm going to stop there.
Yep, I second that motion.
Okay, any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
All right, now number four on that was kind of important how we do that, but we didn't talk about that. So who's going to be in charge of that, or what's going to happen there?
Well, honestly, with the board, I think that the board comes back with a number of names, and at our next regular meeting, we decide on two Democrats, two on the other side of the aisle, because I don't want to rule Rob Hyder out and Mr. Independent. But I think that we just come up with four names and move it forward from the board.
Number four is the departure transition.
We took care of that
once the person for $90 an hour is hired, that's the departure date.
All right, somebody's got to move along with that.
So I understand what you're saying now. I would say that it would probably take a motion from this board to allow Mr. McLivity to assist the interim person for a minimum period of 10 working days.
Or whatever is needed to get him through.
No, 10 working days. I think we got to okay, you got another job. We have to look out for the interests of the city, and that goes both ways. So you have somebody leaving and you have somebody coming in. So.
You've got to be kidding if you don't think we're looking after the city.
No, you didn't listen to the whole thing I said.
He carried the ball a long way for us right now.
And listen, Mr. Mayor, I wouldn't disagree with you. Keith did a great job in moving things forward and keeping our head above water. Yeah. But at some point we have to, in town 3 days out of a week, and we could have him at City Hall 3 days a week taking care of business. But unfortunately, he has a new job. He's down south. And we see how these Zoom meetings don't work for us here.
Oh, no.
Personally, don't work for me.
But I get it.
Let's give them,
string it on. You need a firm date, and that's what we're in charge
of. Well, let's give 10 days from the hire of the interim person that we just approved.
Fine with me.
10 working days, Charlie?
That's 10 working days, yes. 10 working days. I'm good with that.
2 weeks.
All right. Somebody want to make that an emotion? Or am I going to be the bad guy all night?
Go ahead.
All right.
I thought you made it an emotion.
All right. My next motion is to we will, the Board of Aldermen, Board of Alderwomen, and the administration will finalize a transition plan for the departure of the existing interim finance director. That includes as many details are as practical, and that said transaction period will be completed within 10 working days of the hiring of the part-time finance
director. What do you got?
Director.
What do you need?
I'll second that.
Interim finance director.
Interim finance director.
But the new interim finance director, right.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Well, I was going to say, throw something in there real quick.
Mr. Sampson made the motion. Was there a second to that?
No, I didn't hear a second.
Ronnie Sill.
Okay. I'm just, because you ran through that.
You have the motion, you just need to revote.
Okay. Charlie Sampson with the motion, Ronnie Sill, second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So carried. So 9.2. Excuse me, I'll get back to this. 9.2. All right, old business, no action.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, for one quick second, I'm sorry to prolong this meeting, but I too joined late. And I'm just item 7.1.1. I'm just hoping that Mr. DiMartino was elected as the president of the board.
What do you say?
No, you were. We were telling you at the end.
Charlie.
I heard you were not elected, Charlie.
Well, I was going to vote no, but that's a whole different story. Congratulations, Joe.
Thanks, Charlie. I appreciate it.
You're in there again. Congratulations, Joe.
Thank you, Mayor.
We usually do it when you're not here. That's the way to do it.
Yep.
I apologize. My schedule got screwed up and the hours were wrong. I should have been here. Okay, old business, nothing. Agenda.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, there was one other aspect of this proposed resolution that wasn't passed, but I think if there's no objection, I think it would make sense to ask the administration to inform the tax board of the financial impact of this of these motions that were made by the board so that we keep the communication gap to a minimum.
Good idea.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure that hopefully that conversation has already taken place prior to us taking the action, but I will be more than happy to call the president of the tax board over there and make sure that we start doing the right thing for the city of Derby.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Old business, nothing. 11, executive session. Motion to go to executive session, 2 Factory Street, property acquisition.
To include?
Right.
To include them.
To include the Corporation Council, the Drew.
And Carmen.
Carmen. Okay.
I think that's it.
At 6:44.
All right. So, Mark, you'll get us into that?
Got a second on that?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Barbara.
Aye.
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 All right.
All right. 6:44, and we'll pause the recording.
Hello? Sorry about that.
Oh, Okay, it's 7 o'clock and you're coming out of executive session into regular session.
Yes. All right, do I have a motion to come back into regular session?
So moved.
Second by
Ron.
Ron, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So here we are. So do we have a motion for?
Make a motion to approve the resolution read by Corporation Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will read the resolution displayed via a screen share. A resolution titled, "The City of Derby shall purchase, take, or otherwise acquire the real property known as Two Factory Street in Derby, Connecticut, for the purpose of constructing a municipal parking lot and or expanding public parking in the vicinity of Two Factory Street. Whereas the Board of Aldermen of the City of Derby finds there is a shortage of public parking in the vicinity of Two Factory Street, Derby, Connecticut, hereafter Two Factory Street. And whereas the lack of public parking in the vicinity of Two Factory Street is detrimental to Derby residents and members of the general public and detrimental to the viability of commercial businesses in downtown Derby. And whereas the creation and or expansion of public parking in the vicinity of Two Factory Street is necessary for the benefit of Derby residents, the general public, and the viability of commercial businesses located in Derby's downtown area. And whereas the acquisition of real property located at Two Factory Street is required for the construction of a municipal parking lot and or expansion of public parking in the vicinity of Two Factory Street. And whereas the real property located at Two Factory Street has a fair market value of $915,000 as of this date, based upon the average of two certified appraisals that have previously been made available to the owner of Two Factory Street. And whereas Connecticut General Statutes Section 48-6 authorizes and empowers the City of Derby to take or acquire real property for its municipal purposes. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City of Derby immediately purchase, take, or otherwise acquire the real property known as Two Factory Street at the fair market value of $915,000 as of this date for the purpose of constructing a municipal parking lot and or the expansion of public parking. And be it further resolved that if the City of Derby cannot agree with the owner of the said real property upon the amount to be paid for any real property taken hereby, the City of Derby shall proceed in the manner provided by Section 48-12 of the Connecticut General Statutes."
Okay. Do I have a second or not?
Second, Ron.
Ron Hyder, second. Any discussion?
Close enough.
All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. So carried. Joe.
Okay, then we need I need a motion to refer to planning and zoning the Connecticut Statute 8-24 referral. Is that it, attorney?
That's it. So the board's required, because this is the acquisition of property, a proposal to acquire property, the board requires a referral to the Planning and Zoning Commission to deliver an approval pursuant to Connecticut General Statutes 8-24.
Okay, do I have a second on that?
Second, Charlie Sampson.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. All right.
Mr. Mayor, just one second. On the first motion, can we just clarify who made the motion and seconded? Because I believe that was incorrectly memorialized.
Okay.
On the resolution itself.
The resolution was Joe.
Yeah.
And Ron Sill.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. All right. So that's 12:13. Ron.
Motion to adjourn at 7:05.
Okay. Second?
Second the motion.
All in favor, Camille Bidette.
Hi.
Happy New Year, everyone.
We don't get to have a
We don't get to have a discussion on Drew's dog at all? Prior to the vote? Okay.
And then after that, we could talk pebbles all day.
See you all next week.
See you next week.
Take care.
Very good.